Okay. If you'd like to help to support the ministry here, or yours truly, and there are some who tithe to support the pastor, you may make your gifts, your offerings, your tithes, and you can either go online and do that through our sjrchurch.org website, or through the sermonaudio.com website, where our sermons are hosted, or you can send it the old-fashioned way through the postal mail to Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania. That's C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. That's Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania, 16025. We trust that Almighty God will richly bless you. Praise the Lord. You have a recording. When I first turned it on this morning, it was just way out of kilter. I don't know what I did during the week, but it was out. It was just, whew, it would have been horrible. But anyway, it's looking good now. What would you say if I told you to go out and teach everybody everywhere whatever I commanded you? You might say, well, by what authority do you command me or anyone to teach anything or tell anything or do anything at all, right? Who are you? Well, I'm nobody. You might say, well, why should I trust you? Why should I trust you and what you say, or why should I believe what you teach or preach, right? Well, you shouldn't, because I'm nobody. But, you know, this is exactly what the Lord told his followers to do. He told his followers to go out and teach everybody, everywhere, everything that he commanded. He said, you go into all the world and you preach the good news to everyone. No holds barred, no resistance, no, well, those people, they're not good enough. Or, oh, no, I'm not going over there. He said, everybody, everywhere. As we've read the accounts in Matthew and Mark these past 2 weeks, that's what we've heard him say. He said it in different ways, and it was recorded in different ways. But he said, go into all the world. Tell everybody. And he said, teach them to observe everything that I commanded. Now, I'm going to save that word observe for next week, because otherwise we'll go too long. I mean, I've figured it out as far as the timing and everything. I'm trying to shorten the time down on the messages just a little bit. I'm not trying to cheat y'all. I want to give you the full picture. But some of these messages could go on for an hour, hour and a half. And quite honestly, I know that that gets hard for people, especially around lunchtime. We'd start earlier, maybe we could do that, but I'm not going to ask you to get out of bed earlier either, all right? But this is the challenge that we face every single day. We face this challenge because it's his command. And his command is that we teach others to observe everything that he commanded. And in order for us to teach others to observe what he commanded, we have to learn what he commanded. So to fully comprehend this idea, I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 again. We looked there last week. You'll find that on page 1543 in the Seat Bible. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to just read near the end of the chapter. We'll start at verse 16, and then we're going to go to the end at verse 20, all right? Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. But before we go there, I'd like us to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give me power to preach today. Your power, Lord, not for my will to be done, for your will to be done. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to fall upon me and all who are within the reach of my voice. And I ask, Father God, that you would enable me to do this because I can't do it without you. I'm weak and I'm beggarly, but you are strong. You are powerful. You are the one that enables me to do what you have called for me to do. And so, God, I ask that you would take a hold of my mouth today, that I would speak nothing but what you want me to speak, that I would speak your truth and nothing less. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. And this is what's written there. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. That means they bowed down before him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." I ask that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I trust that he will. We already looked at how some of them believed and some of them doubted. We've already looked at a piece of the idea of all authority being given to him, but I want to cover some more of that today. And also that he said to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We've talked about that in the last couple of weeks. And also baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We looked at that last week. Today we're going to focus more on the authority and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. He said, "All authority has been given to me." All authority have been given to him in heaven and on earth. And what we must really comprehend is that in order for authority to be delegated, someone else must possess it. The Father had all authority. And I looked at the root word for authority because I thought, well, what's the word itself? How did we come to this word authority? Authority comes from the 1600s. And, of course, the word that Jesus used would have been a Hebrew word. Aramaic, most likely. But the word authority comes from the one who has it. The author. The master. The leader. The author of all that is, was, and ever shall be is Almighty God the Father. He's the author. And he passed on his authority. He authorized Christ to bring it to earth. The author is our Heavenly Father. He's our Creator. He's the one that brought everything into being. And he delegated his authority to the one that we call Jesus. And then our Lord, Christ himself, he further delegated that authority. He delegated it to his disciples. Now, anybody who's been in the military knows how that works. You, as an enlisted man or woman, you don't possess that authority. You are delegated a piece of the authority, a part of it. But somebody else has that authority, and they delegate it down, and they delegate it down, and they delegate it down. But you, the one who's enlisted, you do what you're told. Okay? That's the way it works. Anybody who's been in the military knows that. And if you don't do what you're told, what happens? Anybody in this military could tell you, you're going to get locked up. You're going to have trouble because you didn't follow orders. Okay? But Christ, he received all authority from the Father. He delegated it to his disciples, and he said, "Now you take that, and you do this with it." And what was this? What did he say to do? He said, "Teach them to observe everything that I've taught." All authority he received from the author of creation. And here's a few things that prove this, okay? Because I got to thinking, okay, how do we substantiate that he actually had all authority? How do we show that to anyone else? Well, in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we learn, it's written, he was in all points tempted as we are, but without sin. He was authorized to overcome temptation completely because he was without sin. And if he had sinned, he wouldn't have been the sacrifice that we just celebrate in the communion of the saints. Wouldn't have been there. Wouldn't have happened. Okay? That's one thing that proves that he was given all authority. He overcame Satan himself in the temptations. Remember when he was tempted? Turn these stones into bread. Yeah. What'd he do? He said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay? He used the word of God to rebut the devil. All right? And then he's tempted in these other ways, and he rebuts the devil with the word of God. And the devil had to leave him. All right? And this is why it's so important for believers to understand the word of God. So you can say, it is written. And we've covered that. We had a whole series of messages on it is written. It is written in the word of God. And this is where you, as a believer, obtain your authority to override all the works of the devil. And you can overcome temptation. You can overcome your flesh with the word of God. Now, here's another thing that proves that he received all authority. He was given full permission to teach, to preach, to heal, and to deliver souls from evil. He was not restricted by any earthly physical boundary. He overruled the physical laws by seemingly evaporating when he was accosted. The word said he slipped through the midst of them. They grabbed him. They ran him up on a hill to a cliff. They're going to throw him off the cliff, and he evaporated right out of their hands. He was not bound by the physical laws of this earth. If he wanted to, when they came to arrest him in the garden, he could have evaporated. He could have avoided the cross. But he didn't. He willingly went to the cross because that was his mission. And he accomplished it. He wasn't restricted by earthly physical boundaries. On more than one occasion, he slipped out of the hands of the people who were going to kill him because it wasn't his time. But when it was his time, he submitted. And after he rose from the grave, he went right through the walls. The door was, the place was locked up. They had locked themselves in an upper room, and he walked in as if right through the walls or the doors. He wasn't bound by physical boundaries. He had all authority that was given to him by the Father, and he delegated his authority to his disciples. Does that mean we can walk through walls? I think God opens up paths that we don't understand, and if we're not looking, we're not paying attention, we're not going to get through those walls. They're barriers. He places barriers. But then, when we do pay attention, when we do watch, when we are right in the center of God's will, just when you think you hit a barrier, it opens up. And I can tell you from my own life, I've watched it. And I know others, the same things happen. God's, okay, you're hitting a barrier, and you're like, okay, Lord, where are we going here? He's one step to the right. All right, there we go, right through. Barrier evaporates. Now, it's not the same thing as Jesus walking through walls. I'm not going to walk through the wall here, folks, and come in the other side over there somewhere. That isn't going to happen, all right? I've learned long ago, my head doesn't go through walls. Not going to happen. But we have the power to overcome every physical boundary by prayer, by staying in constant communion with the Father. And that's one thing that we've lost largely in the church. We're not gathering together for prayer like we need to. Here's another one. He had all authority. He knew the thoughts of others. And the word, the scripture tells us, I'm not going to read all the scriptures that tell us. He knew the thoughts of their heart. He knew what they were pondering. He knew what they were thinking. He had no physical barriers. He had all authority. Here's another one. Demons had to obey him. He said, out! And they were out. He called the demons out. You got to go. You're not welcome here. And he delegated that same authority to his disciples. He said, here, you have this authority. Go out there and cast out the demons. He said so, And I'm not going to read all the scriptures that tell us that. I'm just letting you know he delegated that authority to his disciples. And we are recipients of that authority. That's one more. Here's another one. He was empowered to overcome religious deception. The religion had deceived the people for a long time. He came on the scene and he said, "Nah, you got it wrong. No, you got it wrong over there." And he's calling the religious people out. He's saying, no, you're a bunch of deceivers. You're a bunch of liars. You're children of the devil," he called them. These were the head guys. These were the head religious people. And he's not just talking to the fellow on the seat. He was talking to the leaders. And you know, I think we need some more of that today too. I think we have a lot of religious leaders that are way off base. I think they're calling the church into hell. They're leading people who believe they're following Christ off the path of Christ and down a dangerous, slippery slope. And that causes me concern. And it causes me concern to even speak out about it, because you know what they did to him for doing that. Think about it. We just celebrated it in communion. They don't like when you point it out to them. They don't like when you point out the religious deception. People ask me, "Well, what's your statement of faith?" Well, let's see. Holy Bible. Christ our Lord. There's my statement of faith. Now, does that mean that I can't say, I could write down a whole bunch of stuff, okay? But all I got to do is say Jesus Christ. I have no creed but Christ. God's word, I will follow. That's what he did. Did he spew a creed? Did he make a human creed? "Well, I do this and I do that." Not. He said, take his commands to heart and then share them with others. Teach them to observe everything that I've taught you. That's what he said. So he was empowered to overcome religious deception, because religion has muddied the waters. They had at that time, and we've reached the time again when religion has broken the relationship with God. We need to overcome that. We have the power. We've been authorized. Don't forget that. It's important. He wasn't bound by gravity. There's another one. That's a big one. He wasn't bound by gravity. He walked upon the raging sea. It is written. He walked on the sea. And he called Peter. "Hey, Pete, come on up." Peter, he steps out of the boat. Now, first of all, I'm not so sure that I'd be that faithful. I don't know that I wouldn't, but I don't know that I would. Peter, at least, he steps out of the water. Now, you got to think about this, okay? Did he jump out of the boat? It says he stepped out of the boat. Now, he gets in the water, and he takes his eyes off the Lord. And the water starts to swallow him up, and he cries out. Jesus takes his hand. Now, when we get into tough situations, folks, we are authorized to call upon his name and have him lift us out of those storms, those stormy seas, if you will. He was authorized. He wasn't bound by gravity. Think about this, okay? Right after where we read, another author writes that he was ascended into heaven. Does it say he got onto a plane? No. Doesn't say he got into a rocket. There was no human means of propulsion that took him up. No means of human transportation that raised him. He was not bound by gravity. He ascended into heaven. Now, we don't know all the details of how that happened. We don't know how God did that, because it's not written. But what we do know is he wasn't bound at a time when everybody else was. He was not bound by the physical law of gravity. He ascended into heaven, and he was seated at the right hand of the Father. And from there, he will rule. Now, he was fully authorized to carry out his mission on earth. And he accomplished his assignment, even though they thought they had wiped him off the planet, even though they thought that they got away with something, even though they thought that they took care of him, he won. And because he won, we win. Don't lose sight of that. We win. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. It doesn't matter how badly we're tempted. We simply need to call upon his name. Help me, Lord, help me. My wife will tell you, I pray that prayer even in my sleep. Lord, help me. I cry out in my sleep, Lord, help me. That's a simple prayer. And you know, whether you need it or not, you need his help. Excuse me, whether you know it or not, you need his help. Each and every day, as you're walking through this planet, you need his help. And he's authorized you to call upon him to receive what only he can give. He has the power. Lord, help me. And he does. He'll help you in every circumstance. But the enemy of souls wants you to believe he can't. He wants you to believe that neither he nor the Father is able to help you in your circumstances. Now, wait a minute. He knew the thoughts of others. Demons had to obey him. He was empowered to overcome religious deception. He wasn't bound by gravity. All these things that we just looked, he had all authority. Do you think that he can't help you overcome your circumstances? Do you think that he can't fix whatever's broken? And do you think for a moment that he doesn't know exactly what's going on in your life? Because he does. He knows what you're thinking. Okay? That might not be comfortable to some people, but that's the truth. He knows what we're thinking. And so if we're thinking wicked thoughts, he knows. If we're blessing his name, glorifying his name, he knows. If we're taking the commands of Christ and we're sharing them with others, he knows. And if we're not, guess what? Can anybody tell me? He knows. He commanded his followers to teach others to observe all things that he had commanded them. All things. Now, we don't know everything because, as John writes, if all the things that he had done were written down, the world couldn't hold all the books. But what we have learned is where his authority came from and the far-reaching nature of his authority. Remember, there's a nature to it. There's an essence. It was the Father's. It was Almighty God's authority that was delegated to Christ. And he took that authority and he used it in a way which he was given power to do. True believers are subject to his teaching just as if he was here right now commanding them. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. It's just as if he's our king. It's just as if he is our, for the children, our principal at school or our teacher. For those that are in the military, it's just as if he's the commanding officer. For those who work a job, it's just as if he's the boss. And he says, you do this. And so we take his commands and we say, okay, I'm going to obey his commands. Because he said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's what he said. But a lot of people are saying no to Jesus. No, I don't do that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, it's not my will for my life. But I'm here to tell you, we all need to say yes. We're subject to his teaching. He has full authority to command us or anyone else to do whatever he commanded, right? He was authorized to do so. He was authorized by the Father, the Creator, the author of creation. He was authorized. He was turned into, made to be the author by the author, one with the author. And he shows the world that he has all authority and that he delegates that authority to all of his followers. This is why we trust what he said. This is why we believe what he said. This is why we follow what he commanded, what he taught. And this is the challenge for every believer. Do we really accept that he is the one who's authorized to command us. Remember how I opened the message? What if I told you to go out and tell everybody what I tell you, to do what I tell you to do? Who are you? Why would you do that? Why would you think that I would follow you? I'm not telling you to follow me. I'm telling you to follow him. I'm telling you to listen to what he said, learn what he said, and take that and do what he said to do with it. Give it to others so that they will observe it. We are to follow his commands. We are to say yes to him. So that makes me think, okay, what did he command his disciples to do? What did he command them to teach? Did he tell them to follow the things that Peter taught? Well, as far as Peter's in line with him, absolutely. Do we follow the things that Peter taught, like when Peter said, "No, I don't know him"? When he cussed people out who said that he knew him? Well, no, obviously not. It's contrary to him. So we've got to be able to discern, what do we follow? What do we hear when we read the Scriptures? If it says, Peter denied Christ, and then there's another passage of Scripture that says, go and do likewise. We put them together and we do it? Well, this is what a lot of religion has done. We've taken a piece from over here, and we've taken a piece from over here. We've coupled them together and said, that's God's Word. And that's not what we're to follow. If we follow his commandments, we don't contradict what he said. We don't contradict what he did. He said, go. He said, teach. He said, preach. He said, heal. That's what he said. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge for us. Peter's example gives us a clue as how far to follow Peter. And so do every other man or woman that has taught ever since then. They give us a clue. How far do we follow them? Did Jesus say, command them to follow the things that John or James or Jude or Paul taught? He said, teach them to observe what I taught. And so as far as whatever James and John and Paul and Jude and Peter taught that was in line with Christ, then yes, we would follow it. But there are things that are written all over this world. There are books all over this world that say, well, you know, Peter did this or John did that or James did this or whomever. Martin Luther did this. John Calvin did that. John Wesley did this. And that's just a few. But did they do it in the name of Christ? Yeah. Is it in full alignment with what he did and what he said and what he preached and what he taught? Some of it isn't. And what's happened is we've missed the mark. We were just off maybe a degree 500 years ago, and now we're way off the mark as far as religion is concerned. We need to get back to Christ. We need to get back to what he commanded. We need to get back to what he said. We need to get back to what he did. We need to get back to him. Because he's the one that had all authority delegated to him to teach us. And we need to teach others to get back to him. Get away from all this mess with religion, because it's taken us down the wrong path. And some would say, well, you mean we're not supposed to teach what other believers taught before us? And I don't believe that's what he's saying. We need to line up with God's Word. We need to line up with what it is that God said to do. And we need to do what he said to do. He said, teach others what I have taught you. It's a crucial commandment. He gave this to his followers before he ascended. His followers are to teach what he commanded. Preach the Word, it's written in 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 2, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke. We don't like the rebuke anymore. We already did a message on this, so I'm not going to go in there, but we don't like the rebuke. But exhort, make people feel good, lift them up, encourage them. Yeah, we like that part. With all long-suffering and teaching. Teach others to observe all things that he commanded. It's his teaching. It's his commandments. And that's to be the basis of what we teach. The basis, the foundation. Because if we leave the foundation, We can go anywhere. Oh, and it sounds great. It sounds flowery. I've heard preachers that preach mouthfuls of words, and that made me feel great. I felt wonderful. But how much scripture was in there? Zero. Not one bit. Not a tiny little bit. Not a verse of scripture. But it made me feel good, Pastor. Oh, I've done it. I've listened to these guys, and I've said, well, it made me feel good too. It was all about me. Here's a big bag of cotton candy, kids. Suck it up. Yeah, you get a big mouthful of cotton candy, you say, wow, that tastes good. It dissolves away, and you've got nothing but a sugar high, and that burns off. We've got to follow his teaching. It's the challenge that we face every time we open our mouths. Do we teach other human teachings and traditions? He said no. He said, you've made God's word of none effect by your own teaching. That's what he said. I'm not going to quote all the scriptures. If you want to know them, we can sit down and we can do a Bible study on this, okay? I'll do that with you. Anybody that wants to sit down, we'll have a Bible study on this. We can't take anyone's instruction or preaching or teaching out of the context of his commands. And there are those who historically have taken the word of God and they've twisted it to such a degree that it sounds so beautiful, but it's a bunch of lies. And I'm personally tired of it. I just want to get back to the word of God. What does his word say? What does he teach? Oh, well, you know, this means this and this means that. When you put them together, Judas went out and hanged himself. And we take that other passage, go and do likewise. Boom. You got to lie. That's not what God's word says. Peter denied Christ. Go and do likewise. And I know it's not that extreme. That is an extreme example of what they're doing. But what I see is happening is God's people are being taken off of the path that Christ laid out. We must say yes to his commands, and never accept anyone's teaching unless it's filtered through his. If we take what he taught, and we take what they teach, and we run it like that's the filter, okay? You think about water. We've got some bad water around here. You take the water, you run it through a filter, you get some good water, right? It takes out all that junk. So if you take what somebody else teaches, and you filter it through Christ's teaching, then you get the pure word of Christ, and you get all that junk that comes out. He's the filter. He was authorized to be the filter. He brought the truth of God to the world, and we need to get back to him to do it right. He said, follow his commands, and nothing that contradicts or opposes his teaching or instructions is to be accepted. And the problem is, we don't know his word anymore. We need to get back in his word. I had somebody accuse me one time, oh, you worship the Bible. No, I worship the God of the Bible. And he tells us to learn his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's a lot of warnings about false teachers and leaders in Scripture. Jesus said, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. He said it's going to happen before he comes back. False prophets are those who profess or teach falsely. For the time will come, it's written in 2 Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We're there, folks. This is where we are. We have arrived at that time. Then we hear about the doctrine of devils in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They're going to give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, and the church is full of them. I'm not going to pick on any church brand or denomination or demonic nation or whatever you want to call it. They're filled with the doctrines of demons. And we're seeing it in the way the church is accepting all of these things of the world. And we're not saying no to that. We're saying no to Jesus instead. False teachers. Warned about false teachers. In Matthew chapter 24, we hear Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many." In 2 Thessalonians, we read, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day," the day of his return, "will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And what is the temple of God today? Is there a physical temple? Is there some building somewhere that's called a temple? No, it's the people. We are the temple. And he's saying the temple is going to be ruled by someone that is not God. He's saying the church is going to be infiltrated. That's what I believe in this, okay? It's very clear. It's very clearly written. Take heed, no one deceives you. The thing about being deceived is that the people who are deceived, they don't know it. That's what makes it deception. They don't know it. They don't think it. They don't believe it. They think they've got it right. And so when you bring them the truth of the Word of God, you deliver the Word as it is written, they run from it. They deny it. They twist it. They turn it. And this is not pleasing to our Father. It is not pleasing to our Lord. He had all authority. He delivered the Word of God in the truth of it. Not twisted, not turned. And those who are deceived don't know that they're deceived. And that's the hardest thing about reaching them. But you know, whenever the mailman gets a box full of letters to deliver, he can't say, "Well, they're not going to accept this. Oh, no, 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 no. This is a bill. They don't want that. I'm going to chuck that one." No, I got to give you the bill, Judy. Jimmy, you got to get the bill, okay? I got to deliver the mail. I'm not allowed to cheat. I'm not allowed to burn the stuff that you don't want. I'm not allowed to cut it out of the Bible. I can't ignore it. I've got to bring it to you. In 2 Peter, we hear, "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them." He's not talking about unbelievers there. They were bought. They were bought and paid for, just like each and every one of us who bought them, "and bring on themselves swift destruction." He was authorized to bring the truth. They took what he gave and they turned it into something else. And this is where we've arrived today. This is why we don't have a school system. For example, as we have prayer this morning, let's ask God to make our school system godly. We don't have a godly church. How are we going to have a godly school system? False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Even God's people could be tricked. We need to be on guard. We need to know His Word. We need to learn His Word. We need to live His Word. We need to tell others to live His Word. But know this, it's written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. Look at me. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such, he says, turn away. Now, for those of you who don't know, this message, I wrote these notes 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. God had me, I just was really downloading what He wanted me to do. 2 weeks ago. I'm like, "Lord, I was working on messages from 2 weeks ago and last week and this week all at the same time." That's how He gave it to me. So that's how I did it. I didn't understand why He did that. Why would He do? Why would He give me that? Because He knew how this week was going to be. In Isaiah chapter 29, it's written, "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. In other words, not God's commandment. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. They're going to be deceived. That's what he's saying. As it's written, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus was authorized to bring the truth of God's word. He then authorized his disciples to take God's word and share it with others, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We think, well, that's going to be problematic. Well, of course it is. He said it's going to be problematic. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trials. But trust me, I will be with you. And even when he gave this command, when he said, take it to them, when he said, deliver it to them, when he said, go out into all the world and tell them what I've told you, when he said, go out there and heal people, he said, what? I will be with you. That's what he said. Don't worry about it. I'm there with you. No matter what happens, I'm there with you. I'm in the boat with you. I'm in the storm with you. I am in every circumstance that you endure with you. This is what he's saying. And so the enemy of souls says, oh, he ain't here. Where's he at now? Why would he let you get sick? Why would he let you? Why would he let this happen? He's letting you down. He's not there for you. Why would you trust in him? And we've got to say, be silent. You have the authority to tell him to shut up. You've been authorized to tell the enemy to stop. You've been authorized to resist the enemy of souls. You have been authorized by the commander to do what needs to be done. You've been authorized to reach out your hand and say, take my hand, Lord. Take my hand, Lord, because I can't do this alone. You've been authorized. As I wrap this up, I want to remind you of those main ideas that I covered in this message. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Almighty God authorized him to give the truth. He delivered it. And he said, now you take it and you deliver it to others. He commanded his followers to teach others to observe all things that he had commanded them. And with the amount of time that has passed, it's unfortunate, but we must carefully learn what he taught and we must share that. Because so many twists and turns have happened throughout the last 2,000 plus years that we're no longer on the same path that he was on. Now, I'm not saying individually. I'm not accusing you individually. I'm saying wholesale as the church with the big capital C, his church, the one that he founded upon himself. He commanded his followers to teach what he had taught. And we need to learn what he really taught, apply it to our lives, and tell it to others. And this is the challenge. That's why I called this message the challenge. It was a challenge for me to write it. And it's a challenge for all of us to take it, to accept it, to give it to ourselves, to accept it the way that it is, and then take it and give it to others. Use it. We're going to continue to look at what it means to observe next week. What does it mean when he said, go and teach them to observe all things that I commanded you? Warnings about false teachers and leaders abound in Scripture. That was another point that I made in this message. And we're going to look at this more next week also. But we must be aware and we must use Scripture as our guide. We may not take some book that some man wrote that says, okay, for this particular denomination, we're going to use this book. No, we're going to use this book, the Holy Bible. That's what we use. It's God's Word, and we're going to use it to His glory. And finally, as we use Scripture as our guide, I want you to remember, if you love Him, you will obey His commandments. That's what He said. If you love Him. But Jesus also said, those who don't love me, they don't do what I told them to do. That's what He said. So check yourself, okay? He said, do it, you do it. If you don't do it, you're showing that you don't love him. That's what he said. Say yes to Jesus. Accept his offer. He's offering everlasting life. Accept his offer. Accept his offer. Take his hand. Yes, Lord. I will walk with you as my guide. Take his word and share it with others and implore them to do the same. Take my hand, Lord. Let me walk with you. I don't want to walk with anybody else. I don't want anybody else as my guide. I don't want to follow anybody else's commands. I want to follow you. I want to follow your commands. And I want to teach others to do the same. Accept his offer. Say yes to him. Don't say no. Hear what he has to say. And then do it. Just do it. That's all he wants. He wants faithful followers. He wants faithful followers who will do what he said to do. I'm not perfect, folks, but I do what he says to do. That's all I want to do. And that's what I want for each of you. I want you to do what he says to do. I want you to go where he says to go. I want you to lead others to do the same. There's no better place to be than in the center of his will. Judy and Bob, in their retirement years, the Lord said, "You're going to Central America." They said, "What? Central America? It's hot down there." Bob said it maybe it was for fishing. But no. I was just invited to go to Bangladesh. I've never been. That's across the world somewhere. But my brother Peter, he's heard my preaching. He said, "Brother," he said, "you need to come here and preach." Well, if the Lord leads and he makes the way, I'll do it. I'll make a visit and I'll preach to people that I've never met before. Which I do anywhere I'm at anyway, so it probably won't be much different in that respect. But Brother Peter, if you're listening, if God makes the way, brother, I'll be there. We'll find somebody to fill in for a week or so here. But I trust the Lord. He says, go into all the world. Teach them to observe what I commanded you. Just say yes. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. We thank you for the authority that you embodied in Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can hear the message that he delivered. We can hear his commands that are written in your word, and we can take them out into all the world. Even that little portion where we live, that seems to us sometimes so big. Help us, Father, to do what it is that you want for us to do. Help us to lead others to do what you want for them to do. And let us be found faithful when Christ returns for his bride. I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, Miss Rosalie wants us to sing America the Beautiful. I've got a hymnal here somewhere. America the Beautiful. That's number 531. If you can stand, please stand. I'll find it, Rose. I'll find it. Toward the back of the book. That makes it easy. We have four verses, and we're going to sing them all, folks.